Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Of Cain. It doesn't sound like a good topic, right? It's okay. Let's see how it goes. 1 John chapter 3. I got to be talking about a man, a very strong man, who made a name for himself. Made a name for himself, but without God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, verse 11 to 12. Fill me up is what I'm seeing here. Okay. Sorry, take me to Jude 1 first. Jude 1, 11. Jude has only one chapter. So if I say the book of John, the book of Jude chapter, you don't need to remember, it's just one. Jude chapter 1 and verse 11. Jude. Media, receive life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Or can I read from my Bible? I have my Bible. Okay. Woe unto them. That's not our portion. I said that is not your portion. I said that is not your portion. For they have gone in the way of Cain. So there was a way of Cain. And if you do not want the woe, then you should not go in the way of Cain. And that is why we are here this morning. To learn the way of Cain, that we may not fall into that way. Praise the Lord. They have gone in the way of Cain. So whatever way it was that Cain tread or that Cain walked in, was a way that led to woe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is the kind of way that the Bible describes that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But at the end is what? Destruction. So we will not close our eyes to it. We will not only learn the ways of Abraham. We will not only learn the ways of Joshua and Moses. We will also learn the ways of Cain that we should not tread in. Hallelujah. So I go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11 to 12. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11 to 12. And it says, for this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain. That we should love one another. Not the way Cain loved. That we should love one another. Not as Cain thought fit. So there is a way to love that leads to destruction if it is in the way of Cain. Do you understand? So there is a way, there is a manner to love. You don't just say, I want to love and love carelessly. You don't just say, I want to live and live carelessly. There is a way to live. There is a way, a manner to comport yourself that will not lead to destruction. And there is a manner through which you do it that can lead unto destruction. Praise the Lord. So I go to Genesis chapter 4. Who was Cain? And what were the ways of Cain? I'm not sure anybody, it's only the Oyinbos who name their children Cain. If you are a real Nigerian, I am not sure any Nigerian has ever named his or her child Cain. But when I searched online, I saw a number of people, the Americans, who bear Cain. And I'm like, people need to come and learn our ways. Once we see a name in the Bible, Jabez. Even though Jabez became blessed, have you seen any child, anybody that named his child Jabez? Or Jezebel? They will say, or Bathsheba. Have you heard Bathsheba? I've not heard it all. Maybe there is. Or Rahab. You've heard Rahab. That must be a real believer who has seen the hand from the beginning. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 4. And I read from verse 3. Let me read from verse 1. Can I use my Bible? Okay. And Adam slept with Eve, his wife. You would think that with all the suffering, brother Adam and sister wife would just say, you know what, this angle, let's just drop it. And let's just see how God can forgive us. But they still had a way around things. Have you now? So we move on with life. And she conceived and had Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man with God's help. So Cain had a good start. Cain had a prophecy. Cain was a gift, a blessing from the Lord. When they had Cain, it was hope to them that God was probably now smiling on them. So for them, Cain seems to be the end of their troubles. Cain seemed to be the end of their struggles. Cain seemed to be the end of the curse. So he came forth, and the woman said, I now have a man who has come by the help of God. So actually, Cain, if he was a Yoruba man, would have bore maybe like Oluwa Sheyi. Oluwa Nromi Lowo. Oluwa Sheun. Because he came with a good prophecy. He came as the solution to the world's problem. He came as the end of a curse that was following his generation. So when you look at the story of Cain, don't just rush to where he killed his brother. Look at it from the angle of Cain being a blessing in the first instance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now permit me to say also that even Cain, with time, realized that he was a blessing. He saw himself as the restoration of life to his family. I don't like the sound of this. Now I understand what Pastor says when he says, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I continue. Praise the Lord. This is better. Then she had another baby, Abel. Abel was a herdsman and Cain a farmer. Cain chose to be a farmer. And this is me saying that I think it was because Cain actually saw himself as a blessing from God. His parents probably had told him all their ordeal in the garden, how God had cursed them. And God did not only curse them, God cursed the ground. And because they had told Cain, you are the blessing that has come from God. You are the solution to this curse. Cain decided, I will be a farmer that I may till this ground that God cursed and bring harvest from it. So Cain actually realized it, or he actually accepted the possibility of him being a solution. So he didn't start out to kill. He actually started out as a solution to his family's problem. He started out as a savior to the world. He started out as the end of the curse, like I said earlier. So he actually considered himself, he decided to be a farmer to till that cursed ground. And you know what he would have gone through? Tilling the ground. Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and you read the curse, it says that they will till the ground with their sweat before it brings out anything. Hallelujah. Cain was strong-willed. For you to till a cursed ground and have harvest, if you go on, Bible says that, please go to verse 3. Okay, I go back to my Bible. Okay. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. So the ground actually brought forth fruit. So I stand to believe that Cain must have been very strong-willed. He refused to give up. He refused to give up. That's why the father, his parents would have told him, are you sure anything will come from that ground? Or was there any record that anybody tilled the ground before Cain? Are you sure anything will come out from it? God cursed the ground. He was desperate. He was determined. But Cain being strong-willed makes me begin to think. Because I know there's a thin line between being strong-willed and being stubborn. So was it his stubbornness that kept him? Or was it his will, his desperation to actually be a solution that kept him? You know, because sometimes we tell ourselves, you know, sometimes it's funny how we pride in some of these terrible habits. And you are telling somebody, somebody is proposing to you, and you say, are you sure you want to marry me? I am very stubborn. No. I am very, very stubborn. If you know, and in your mind, you think you are giving your CV. You think you are marketing yourself by saying you are very, and you are rubbish. It's okay. We are compiling your CV. Hallelujah. 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 So for Cain to have been able to bring Abel from the ground, remember that Cain was the first child that was born into that curse. The curse was still very fresh. Very, very fresh. He came out of it 100%. Imagine the level of sin in the world, and imagine how many people have been born since then. And they still say every child that comes into the world comes into the world of sin. So imagine the first one that came out from that curse. Fresh curse. Not when you bake bread. Fresh. But Cain was determined. So I don't know. Was he determined or was he stubborn? But he brought out fruit. This ground, Baba, na me and you, he brought out fruit from the ground. And he offered his fruits unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you're getting something. I hope you're getting something. Now, Bible says that, and in the course of time. So time happened to Cain. So time passed. And that's how time is also passing. And time is happening to some of us too. That in the course of time, all the things hidden within you begin to find expression. So you see people who get married, and after 2 years, I say, this is a new you that I'm seeing. You can't see everything in one day. Just marry by faith. Bible says walk by faith. Abi? So why is marriage different? You marry by faith. So in the course of time, some very hidden, destructive characters began to manifest in Cain. Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at some of those hidden, destructive characters that Cain did not pay attention to, that Cain did not bring to the Lord in surrender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just like when you plant wheat and thorns begin to grow gradually. If you do not watch it, the thorns will grow with the wheat. And then to harvest the wheat will become a problem. You will need to harvest everything together. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. And I looked through Google and I saw that, you know, characters can be both inherited or acquired. So there are some characters. You notice a small child takes after certain traits from the parents. But there are some characters, if you are cool-headed and you are very calm, and you live in certain areas, you can acquire other characters from the environment. So man can easily be influenced by the environment. Hallelujah. And what environment really was Cain giving birth into? I can imagine that when he came, his mother probably saw him as her only consolation. And she was probably just always talking to him. When the serpent came, the serpent deceived me. And I talked to God, though. You know, there's a way you explain your side of the story. Everybody will be waiting for the other person to kill that person. I begged God, though, because it was not my fault. It was actually what the devil said. And I told God, if he knew he was there and he loved us, why didn't he stop the devil? So you can imagine the things Cain had heard. You can imagine the information that had come into him. You can imagine the environment he had grown into, the hostile environment, where sometimes Adam will remember that, see, I didn't need to work to get money. But you, this woman, you came into my life and you destroyed my life. Is that not how some men say? After you get married, that's when the life now starts getting destroyed. The life that was not destroyed before. You came into my home and you shattered my life. Since I married you. So you can imagine all of the hostility around him. You can imagine all of the curses going on and on around him. Adam probably repeating the same curse to Eve. Eve telling him his own and all of that. All the possible things that could have been happening in their home. And that's why we beg parents, when you even have disagreements, don't let your children see it. It affects their psyche. So when you need to argue, or when you need to disagree over something, go into your closet and do it there. You cannot afford to argue before your 2-year-old. You think he's little? He's storing that information. He sees the way you slap his mother. And in his mind, he's asking, is this actually the right thing to do? You are building aggression in your son by doing the wrong thing. In this church, you are a man. You raise your hand to eat your wife. We will conduct 7 days deliverance for you. Then we will lock you up in a toilet for another 1 month. It's worse than corona. It's worse than coronavirus. Hallelujah. So Cain actually had his struggles. He had things within him that he was dealing with. God loves us. So why are we here? Why can't God just forgive? I remember there was a day Isabella offended her dad. And then he flogged her. And Joel, the defender of the universe, came to meet me. And he started shouting, but can't he just forgive Isabella? Can't he just forgive? Why can't he forgive? He's a pastor. Why can't he just forgive? And he was crying as I was in the house that day. So I said, I had to preach it in the house. Boy, even if they forgive, they will still flog you. Hallelujah. Number one, Cain was an angry man. He had the spirit of anger. Go to verse 5. I know some people, when they get angry, they break things. Immediately the anger starts, I just start packing everything away from their presence. And then they will tell you, you know my anger. You know when my anger starts. Pride. Inside destruction. Verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. We'll come back to that. So Cain was exceedingly angry. You don't just get exceedingly angry in one day. Sir, anger is not a thing of pride. Anger is a destroyer. Ephesians 4 verse 26. Okay. Brother Dave, James 1, 19 to 20. We'll share it. Ephesians 4, 26. When angry, do not sin. Now look at the warning that comes with when angry. When angry, make sure you do not sin. Why? Because there is a possibility. It is highly probable that when you are angry, you will sin. Anger easily leads to sin. Anger is wickedness before the Lord. No matter how much you try to paint it, I know how to manage my anger. It is not your anger, it is of the devil. Because if you go back to 1 John, is it 1 John that says, and Cain, who is of the wicked one? The source of anger is the wicked one, is the devil. In fact, Jude chapter 1 describes anger, James chapter 1 describes anger as cancerous. If you use the Message translation, James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. Do you have Message? Does anyone have the Message Bible? It describes anger as cancer. So it eats you up from within, not your portion in Jesus' name. I say not your portion in the name of Jesus. I say not your portion in the name of Jesus. I tell people anger is an option and you don't have to choose it. It is just that it is a very simple and convenient option. When someone upsets you, you can decide to ignore, you can decide to be quiet, and you can choose to be angry. So your choosing to be angry is actually a choice, a very convenient one, easily made decision, and it comes to mind easily. Before you think of forgiving or being quiet, you would have thought of anger a million and one times. Even in organizations, anger is not excusable. You mistakenly slap a cleaner, not your colleague, a cleaner. Just don't even slap very well. Just say only the tip of my hand touched. But your hand came like this. Let the person just say he wanted to slap me and I dodged it. You didn't even slap. Summary dismissal. I've seen cases like that. Funniest part, there was actually a case I witnessed. And I asked the guy, but why would you slap a cleaner? She's still your colleague. And he said, but she's my younger sister. We're from the same town. I was the one who brought her in. So I was only disciplining her in the office.
So you need to be weary of the emotions that lead to anger. Sit down. Ask yourself, what leads to my anger? What makes me angry? And avoid them. Anger is an option. You can choose it or leave it. Anger leads to sin. Anger is a destroyer. Anger is cancerous. So it is not only people who carry lumps in their bodies that have cancer. If you carry anger in your heart, then you have cancer of heart. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. I break things when I'm angry. Because of me, they changed our television in my house 5 times. And you are proud. And you are displaying yourself. Oh, yes. Please just let us know when you come. When you fill our first timers form, just put in it, I break things when I'm angry. So that when you're angry, we can pack things away from you. And pack people away from you also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must be able to control your level of anger. Proverbs 16:32. We need to move fast. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. So there is strength in controlling anger. And it can be controlled. It can be tamed. It can be tamed. It can be controlled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me move on. The hidden characteristics in Cain. Envy. Why is she the one? Why not me? If your first response to someone's progress is why, watch it. Pastor David has a son. Hey, yeah, congrats. And you know the funniest thing about envy? It's not written on the face. It happens deep in your heart. If you are very skilled at it, some people are very good. They are called schemers. If you are very good at it, immediately they say, Pastor David, you will jump. People will even think, you are celebrating more than the mother of the baby. But in your heart, you are asking questions. Why? Why should he have a son? And me, I've not even thought of having a child. Me, it's only girls. Why is he having son? Somebody comes up to testify. Praise the Lord. My name is Joy Nimiel. Just yesterday, I got promoted. Joy, that's a word for you. Promotion is coming your way. In the name of Jesus. You are being elevated. In the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord will pick you out of the crowd. And you will be distinguished. In the name of Jesus. And you come up and she says, I was promoted at work. Praise the Lord. Now my salary is like times 5 of what I used to get. Then your first response is, kill my half bobo. She's not even kata. Why is God very partial? Why should God accept our own and not accept my own? Envy. It looks like something very little, right? It is a sin. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel. That's anger. And anger is an overwhelming flood. Let's just leave anger where it is. Let's hang it on the anger. But who is able to stand before jealousy? Now permit me to say that this version of the Bible uses jealousy in place of envy. There's a difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is usually affiliated with suspicion over something that is yours. You are jealous. Brother David may see his wife with another fine guy looking cute all around, and then he's beginning to just, there's nothing wrong with just getting agitated. That's jealousy. Just cranky and telling Busola, let's go now. Let's go. It's okay. Off your mic. Men in the heart, praise the Lord. They act like they are not jealous, but it's a lie. Hallelujah. 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 Envy is the same thing as covetousness. Envy is when you long for someone else's progress with an evil intention. You just feel that person does not deserve it. You have enough, but you feel that other person too does not deserve it. Somebody comes to say, I just bought a car. You are wondering, eh? Anyway, it's because I don't want to buy a car now. I would have bought my car. It's envy. Don't decorate it. It's envy. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:30. Envy causes decadence to the bones. And when the bone is decayed, then you have no structure. You can't stand. Please, can you give me KJV or message? I don't want amplified. Proverbs 14:30. A sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrode the bones. The runaway emotions here is envy. If you do KJV, it's envy. It corrodes, it causes rust in the bones. What Joseph's brothers had for him was envy, and it led them to almost kill him. Envy leads to sin. Praise the Lord. Envy is a state of carnality, because the Bible in 1 Corinthians was describing some carnal attitudes and did not leave out envy. So it's a state of carnality. Hallelujah. There is actually no difference between envy and anger. They are in the same bucket. They are brothers. Envy is the twin brother of anger. Because when you are envious, you will eventually get angry. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our text, Genesis chapter 4. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. So Cain actually worshipped God, but worshipped God on his own terms. So the next point, Cain offered a convenient worship to God. He offered worship to God on his own terms, not on God's terms. In the first instance, God did not ask, right? Cain brought an offering. And I'm not sure Adam and Eve, after they left the garden, brought any offering to the Lord. But Cain thought, I am the restoration that they've been waiting for. So he brought an offering to the Lord. But the offering was on his own terms, not on God's terms. So before God could look into the offering, now if you, let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to five. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. I want KJV. King James Version. Thou, media of the Most High. Thou shalt give unto me. KJV. Thank you. No, go to verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering. So before the Lord considered his offering, God considered Cain first. If you go to verse 4, unto Abel and his offering. So the Lord had checked the heart of Abel, and before he checked his offering. And then the Lord checked the heart of Cain. Because even though Brother David cannot see that you are envious, the Lord searches. So God had checked the heart of Abel and then looked at his offering. He is not man that he should lie. It is human being that will look at your offering first and then call you son. And no wonder Hebrews 11 says that by faith. So when God checked the heart of Abel, what God saw was faith. So God saw a man who was coming to worship in spirit and in truth, who was coming to worship by faith. And then God looks at the offering. And then God saw Cain, the wicked heart, the one from the wicked one, filled with anger, filled with envy, and then looked at his offering. Even the offering is from the cursed ground. So Bible describes in Hebrews that by faith, Abel brought a more excellent offering. So that means Cain's offering was actually excellent, but Abel's offering was more excellent. So what gave Abel's offering the more? It was his heart. His heart was filled with faith. He didn't come to God as a perfect restorer of destruction, as the perfect man that has been born for the season. He came to God with faith in his heart. Lord, if you can just accept this, a token of my worship to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Cain's offering was not qualified because he didn't present his offering with faith. So as you sweep the church, as you dust the tables, as you sing, Pastor Benga will only see that you are doing well because everywhere is neat. What matters is your heart. What is God seeing about your heart? Before God looks at that offering, he will search your heart first. If you're coming to church to clean, and that day you know that things are not right, just make things right with God. There's someone you have held back in your heart. Bible says drop your offering first. The offering is not the important part. Drop it first. Go and remedy the situation. Then come back and present your offering. Am I right? Hallelujah. Cain had no regard for spiritual things. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Next verse. He was very angry with God. You have started again. That was the way you started with my parents and sent them out of the garden. You have started. He was very angry. He was very angry. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If you have done well, not if your offering has done well, if you have done well, if according to my definition of well, you have lived in my ways and you have done well, will you not be accepted? So it wasn't even the offering per se that God did not accept. It was the bearer of the offering. And if you do not do well, sin is waiting at the door. Hallelujah. And unto Cain shall be his desire, and unto you shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Next verse, did Cain engage God in any conversation? And Cain talked to Abel. So as far as Cain was concerned, he disregarded God. He didn't pay attention to what God had said. God said, if you have done well. Cain did not ask, Father, teach me. How can I do well? God did not place any curse on him. But God was warning him, if you don't do well, sin is waiting at your door. Father, I don't want to sin against you. How can I do well? God opened room for conversation between him and Cain. God went to meet Cain, even though Cain didn't go to meet him. By his mercies, he went to Cain. And the Lord spoke to him, Cain, you have not done well. And that is why I have not accepted you. If you do well, but Cain ignored God. So you come to church and maybe in your team, Pastor Kenny says something and your mind is saying, eh? Hey, Amy. See, to that thing, Pastor. Amy, Omo. When he was getting married here that day, the pastor said we should sow into his life. I sold 20,000 naira. And he's now talking to me. Here talking to me as if, hey, and if, anyway, now me carry myself come. Disregard. He had no regard for spiritual things. He had no regard for the voice of the Lord. He had no regard for divine order. Because he should have known that his brother did something well. So even if you would have thought that he's talking to Abel was to say, Abel, come, oh, even though I'm older than you, what have you done well that made God accept your offering? There must be an order of worship that God was looking out for. But he didn't. And even God was still trying to tell him, you can talk to me. Hey, I'm here. I'm by you. You can still come to me. Let's talk. But Cain ignored God. Ordinarily, the ushers tell you, you're welcome to church, man. Please have your seat. And you... May the Lord help us. Amen. The usher that has told you, please have your seat, came praying. Has prayed before coming. Was assigned by God to serve. Oh, you're welcome to church. Please have your seat. And your response is, I know where I like to sit. Cain had a sense of self-righteousness. And you know, that was probably why he didn't take to corrections. Now me, the firstborn, I was one who taught Abel. It was Cain, Abel's son, that made Abel bring sacrifice. I was the one who taught him. Why should God not accept my own? Do you know how long I've been born again? Some of us can't even remember the date we gave our lives to Christ. You don't say, I've been serving God for so long. So why is this happening now? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Our righteousness is of God. And he's giving it to us as a gift. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Cain was unforgiving. If you see the verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass. So you see, there's something about unforgiveness. Somehow, when you keep grudges with people, if you are a schemer, like I said before, someone who is very skilled in unforgiveness, you will still talk to the person and joke with the person and laugh with the person, but behind the back, you are thinking of how to kill the person. That can be the depth of unforgiveness. So I'm sure Abel didn't even think there was an issue. Because they talked together, they went to the fields together, and all of a sudden, Cain rose up against Abel. Abel did not even offend Cain. Why didn't he rise up against God? And you know, I see a popular joke. I'm sorry, brothers. It's not like I came here for you today. But there's this popular joke. When a man says, no, I don't know, I must vent anger in the house today and wound my wife and beat her up. Then they say, oh, God, no be here, you go show power. Go barak. Cain was unforgiving. Unforgiveness may look very trivial, but it can lead to sin. These were all the things that God saw and said, sin lies beside you, lies by your door. Next, Cain was a liar. You know this, you know now people don't lie outrightly. It's stylish. Where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? I've not said I saw him. I've not said I didn't see him. Am I my brother's keeper? Stylish lie. Where did you take money from my bag? Do I look like a thief? You have not said I took it. You have not lied that I did not take it. You were only trying to play safe. It's a sin. May God help us. Because sometimes we think we're just trying to manage information. Trying to manage the situation. What are the effects of walking in the ways of Cain? The impact. Let's go to verse 12. So the Lord placed a Cain, the Lord placed curses on Cain. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you as strength. So that means that when Cain tilled, it actually yielded as strength to Cain. But the Lord cut that off and says it will no longer yield as strength. So Cain began to operate under closed heavens. Closed heavens does not mean you will probably not get profit. It only means that you will sweat before you get it. Closed heavens means no grace, no favor. So you see people who struggle all their lives. That's closed heavens. A fugitive and a vagabond. Now, talking about closed heavens, recall that Cain still got married. He had a wife. He had children. The wife would not have married him if he was very, 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 very useless or mad or broke. So there was still something she saw that made her marry him. So he probably still had some money. He had wealth. But he must have struggled all his life. A fugitive and a vagabond shall that be in the earth. So the Lord cursed, the Lord seized his source. So Cain could no longer be attributed to any particular source. He became a wanderer. Somebody that could not be reckoned with. He was no longer recognized under heavens. God no longer recognized Cain. He became a wanderer. He became a fugitive. He became, how do they say it in Yoruba? Omo iran kiran. I hope I got it. Allah in Iran. He couldn't be traced to anything anymore, to any particular source. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then go on, verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I. So now you can pray. It's too late. Next verse. Next verse. Go to 15. 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So Cain no longer had access to God. The presence of the Lord was taken away from Cain. There was nothing like Abba Father anymore. The Lord withdrew his presence. You think that it was Cain who left? No, it was not Cain who left. It was the Lord who withdrew his presence from Cain. Let Cain not be affiliated with me anymore. Now look at the tribal things that led to Cain's issues. Anger, envy, little things. Little things that led him to kill his brother. And then led to all of this punishment. The Lord withdrew his presence from him. Cain began to operate under closed heavens. Cain could not be recognized under heavens anymore. He couldn't be linked to any source anymore. So in my heart, I'm asking, Lord, how can I not walk in the ways of Cain? How can I not be like Cain? Walk by faith. The worship Cain brought to God was void of faith. Don't bring an offering because you want to show off. Ananias and Sapphira. Don't serve because you just want people to see that, I am active in the house of the Lord. Don't bring an offering because you just want to, you want to spite the other person who doesn't have. Before they say offering time, you have opened your wallet and you are flipping the 1,000 notes. Ah, awalaman fall on low. Awalaman fall on low. You split it. Mint. Then you bring it out. You are even asking the ushers. Ah, envelope. Oh. And you know that the person sitting next to you doesn't even have an offering. And you are deliberately doing it, oh, not by mistake. Because you want to show that I walk in Zenito. I command mint. We don't have them here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Walk by faith. If there's anything you want to do, I tell people, there is no decision that needs to be taken in a haste when you have not heard God. It's not that urgent. If God has not spoken to you about it, then it is not that urgent. If God has not spoken to you about that thing you want to do, then it is not that urgent. Walk by faith. God doesn't even expect us to be perfect. God just needs us to walk by faith. And let me tell you the story of a woman called Anna. Anna was a woman who had cried to God over years for a child. She had gone to God, cried, Lord, I want a son. Lord, I want a son. But God was looking at her and saying, Anna, I didn't make you to have a son. I made you to bear the Savior. I made you to bear a judge in Israel that will bring rightness into Israel. Now, the moment Hannah said, Lord, I want a son, and I will bring him to you. God did not even wait for Hannah to say, Lord, and he will serve you, and Lord, he will be a judge. The fact that Hannah's prayer was a little bit aligned with God's purpose, God jumped in. So God is not even waiting for you to be perfect. Just be aligned. Let God just see that you are aligned a little. He will strengthen you, and by his help, he will bring you up. So Anna didn't pray, give me a son. Oh, that will be a judge. Oh, that will be. But God's agenda for that time was a son that would come and be a judge unto Israel, and will wipe away all the sins of the sons of Eli, and will correct things and bring men into rightness with God. And the moment she just said, give me a child, I will bring him back to you. That was all God needed to hear. Alignment. When you walk by faith, I tell you, you are 100% aligned. Because even for Abel, the Bible says it was recorded for him as righteousness. as righteousness. So God was just looking for just a bit aligned. You come into alignment a little and God stamps it righteous. Righteous. And you'll be wondering, but it's not like he's without sin. It's not like he doesn't make mistakes. He's aligned though. He's aligned. He makes mistakes and he knows how to come back to God. How not to be like Cain? Learn to run back into your father's arms. There is no situation that is too terrible to be remedied. The prodigal son, after he left and he began to suffer, he found his way back to his father. And the father welcomed him and even gave a feast for him. The woman who was caught in the act, her accusers were chasing her, and she was wise enough to run towards the direction where Jesus was standing. And when she saw Jesus, she ran to him. Whatever it is not too late. The way God told Cain, Cain, why are you angry? It's the same way God is waiting for us to come back to him. The difference between Cain and David, you know David too killed a man. David killed a man. He killed Uriah. Now, God's anger with David was not just that David killed Uriah, but the fact that David allowed the enemies of God to kill Uriah. Go back to that verse and check it. And so God said, when God sent Nathan, was it Nathan God sent to him? God said, it is not only that you killed Uriah and took his wife. You allowed the sword of the Ammonites to kill my servant. So you made a mockery of me. You shamed me. You made it look like I was not able to support my own. You made it look like I was not able to defend Uriah. You brought me out in the open and made an open shame. You made a shame of me before the Ammonites. So his own offense was even worse because Cain, after he killed his brother by himself. Right? But David, but the next verse after that, David said, oh Lord. Bible said, David repented. And he said, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me. That situation is not so bad. It's not as bad as it's bad. Yes. But it's not as bad as you think. It is not bad enough for you to now run away from the presence of the Lord. You must be able to run back to his presence. His hands are wide open. And he's just waiting. And he's just waiting. He's just waiting. He's just here waiting. And he's saying, come. Come, you who is heavily laden. Come, I will give you rest. Come. In me you find hope. Come. In me you find rest. Come. Come. Come into my temple. Where you will find rest. Come into the city of refuge that I have built for you. Come where you will find peace. Come where you will find hope. Come, there's forgiveness here. I have more than enough for you. I have more than enough for you. It is not to my glory that you go out of my presence and you rot in sin. It is not to my glory that you become a vagabond without a father. You have a source. You have a father. Come. Come back. Come back to me. If only we can swallow our pride and be rest assured that he's waiting. How not to be a king? Talk to someone. Talk to someone. Don't kill yourself with loneliness. The worst thing to do after you do something bad is to lock yourself up in your room. You will kill yourself with depression. Do you know how high the rate of suicide has gone? Suicide is so high. And the alarming thing now is, it is not only the older ones now. It has now come to the teenagers. There's a study that shows that now children between ages 8 upward now indulge more in suicide. So every day my children come back from school, I ask them, so what happened in school today? Did anybody laugh at you? Did anybody bully you? Did anybody mock you? Did anybody say anything to you? The first answer is the correct one. Any other thing they say afterwards is just Isabella trying to tell you a story. Gist. Nobody. But I say nobody. Nobody. And that is the same way God is just waiting. You go after the day's job, you come back depressed, and the Lord is saying, come. What happened between you and your boss? If only you know how much God just wants you to talk to him. God is not lonely, but he doesn't want you to be lonely. If only you just know how much he wants you to talk to him. And because of that, because God knows that sometimes we may act like Cain and not come to him, he puts with us brothers and sisters. Someone you can talk to. Somebody you can call. I feel crazy at the moment. Oh, really? Talk to me, what is it? You know the funniest part? By the time you now finish talking, you tell yourself, I didn't really say anything serious. So it wasn't really the thing that happened to you. It was the fact that the devil was going to capitalize on that and bring you into depression and tie you down in it. Because after you speak with someone, you will now realize within yourself that, so what exactly was making me sad? Why was I angry? Why was I cranky? I don't know if there's someone here today. This is hope I'm bringing to you. That the Lord is just waiting here and telling you, come, you can lean on my shoulders. It's not that bad. Yes, you've gone astray. Yes, you did a number of things. Yes, I know. I know you killed Uriah. Yes, I know. I know you took his wife. I know. But you can come back. Come back. Come into my arms. Come into my arms. Just come. Let's talk. Come. Just come back. Like the prodigal son did. He came back. It's only God you can expose your shame to and not be ashamed anymore. Because he has seen it all. When he made us, we were without covering. So God has seen all your nakedness. God has seen all your weaknesses. God sees everything. So why don't you just come? Come back to him. Come back to him. Desert the way of Cain. And come back to the Lord in faith. God needs us to walk by faith. He knows that you are not perfect. He knows that sometimes you make mistakes. He knows that sometimes you do those things that he doesn't want you to do. But he's saying you can always come back. You can always come back. You can always come back. Don't condemn yourself. Don't tell yourself you are good for nothing. Don't tell yourself all hope is lost. Don't tell yourself I can't make it anymore. Don't tell yourself it is too late. Don't tell yourself God has forgotten me. Don't tell yourself God cannot accept me anymore. Don't tell yourself I am good for nothing. Come back. Come back in the realization.